Today, we're going to, during our message time today, look at the last sermon in the sermon series that we've been going through called Life in the Local Church. We've been working through this since the beginning of the year and wrapping it up today. And this is going to be part two or sermon number two concerning children in church life. And we'll be looking into this, and I really want to just cover three different aspects of this for us today, and again, gain some reminders that children give us about our own relationship with the Lord. Before we get into the Word of God, which will be Deuteronomy chapter 6 to begin with, before we jump into the Bible there and read God's Word and glean from it, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we have sung of great and wonderful truths about You today. Father, we are reminded, and I am reminded so often, of how fragile we are and how fragile we are corporately and individually. Our lives can so quickly fall apart, God, if they be not rested upon the rock of Jesus Christ in His Word. So, Lord, I pray today that as we have sung and as we've heard Your Word read and as we have prayed, and now, Lord, through the proclamation of Your Word, oh God, let our feet, our spiritual feet, be ever more settled upon the rock of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried and risen again on the third day, the King of Kings, the King Eternal. Lord, I ask You to grant that to us, Your servants, today. And bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turning to Deuteronomy chapter 6, as we work through this today, I really want to share three points with you. I want to share with you that children need to be taught the Word of the Lord by faithful parents. Secondly, I want to share with you that children need training in the Lord from faithful parents. And finally, I would like to point out to you from the Bible that children and parents remind all believers of our need to be trained by our Heavenly Father. We're not going to get real in-depth on any of these passages today because we simply do not have time to do that. But beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is a passage that you are probably somewhat familiar with. Many of you may be familiar with this. But as we pick up here in Deuteronomy 6, you know that the book of Deuteronomy was written to the second generation. So it was written to the generation that grew up in the wilderness as their parents died off in the wilderness. And it's this generation that would go into the promised land, that would receive the promises of God, the promises of a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's they that would go there. And Moses, before he dies, is preaching about three sermons to the children of Israel who have grown up in the wilderness before they go into the promised land. And part of that is found here in Deuteronomy 6. Here in verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." All right, now that verse is, and the following is what we would call, or what Jews call, the Shema. And the word Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. You see it there at the beginning of verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Jesus would refer to this as the greatest commandment. Verse 6, he says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you," verse 7, "you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." He goes on in verse 8 to say, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So you notice there in verse 8 that it has to do with the person, having this on the person. And then in verse 9, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The emphasis here in verses 8 and 9 is that the Word of God is to always be present with you. It is something that is always to guide you. It is something that is always to instruct you. So what we see here in this first point is that children need to be taught the Word of the Lord by faithful parents. Here in Israel, as they are preparing to go into the promised land, this is paramount to their success there in the land. And they are to remember who the Lord is, but they are to love the Lord. Now, what I would point out to you, first of all, from this, is that in order for the Israelites, the children that are taught by those parents now, to love the Lord, it's necessary that the Word of the Lord be in their heart. So, R.C. Sproul has said something along the lines, I'm going to see if I can remember it, that the Word of God can be in the mind without being in the heart. But it cannot be in the heart without being in the mind. So, the Word of the Lord was to be taught to them in order that they might love the Lord, their God, with all of their heart, soul, and strength. And this, you'll notice there in verse 7, was something that parents were not to just casually do, but it was something that was to be done diligently. It was a lifestyle. And I, as a parent, can say to you that this is no easy calling. This is no easy assignment that the Lord gives us, but it was necessary. Now, if you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy 11. This is a passage that's very similar to what we just read, but one that's a lot of times overlooked. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Again, same context as you would understand. In Deuteronomy 11, beginning at the top of it, my chapter heading says, love and obedience rewarded. So we can see from that this chapter again is about loving the Lord and then the obedience that comes, or the obedience that is necessary for that. Now, in verse 18 is where we'll pick up here. In chapter 11, here the word of the Lord says, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. That in verse 21, your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Well, we can see from this, again, the same things that we have seen from chapter 6. The responsibility lies upon the parents to teach the children. And the parents must have this in their heart and in their soul if they are then to be able to teach their children the ways of the Lord. And it's a lifestyle. You see in verse 19, in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, the application of the word in our lives. Now, there's something that has been emphasized, and we've talked about it various times, but not a lot in the recent years. And that's something that some of you practice, and that's maybe call it a Bible study time at home or family worship or something like that. But it can be a time where you gather together with the family. You open up the Bible and you read the Bible. You pray together, and you maybe even sing a song or two. That's the idea of family worship, where you are gathering as a family in the home to worship the Lord. I recommend that to you. And to some of you younger families, I would also recommend that you really seek to glean from the families, from the parents, from the families that are older than you. As you maybe are struggling with, how do you do this? How does this look in our lives? How do we make this happen? It is a wise thing if you will pick the brain of others who have gone before you and learn from them, to glean from them. Also, I would commend to you, there's a shelf in our library right here down the hallway on the left. There's a shelf in there, and I think probably the title on that shelf is Parenting, Books on Parenting, something like that. And there's a whole bookshelf full of books where you can glean from the writings of others. We have gained from that as a family over the years. Both of those two ways that I just shared with you have been two of the ways that Sherry and I, as parents, have learned a lot about parenting and about shepherding our children, and even family worship, as I spoke of earlier. So pick people's brains. But you'll notice here that he doesn't really necessarily focus on that, does he? He focuses on here speaking the Word of God, teaching the Word of God as you're going throughout life. From the time you get up in the morning to the time that you go to bed at night. Letting the Bible be in the mind of the parent so that as it's in the mind of the parent, they can then instruct their children as they come across various circumstances or situations in life. All right. Now I'd like to ask you to turn to Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78. The thing is, you know, if the Bible is a priority, if the worship of God is a priority in our lives, then our children will recognize that. And if it isn't, then our children will recognize that as well. In Psalm 78, let's look to this. I'll start at verse 1 and we'll read through verse 10. I'll probably give a few comments as we're going along. Psalm 78. The word of God says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Now, verse 4. "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done." Verse 5. "For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that," in verse 7, "they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." All right, let's stop there. Notice the importance of this testimony being established in Jacob. But then it goes from there that it was established there in verse 5 in Jacob. And that law was appointed in Israel. At the end of it, you see the reason for this, the psalmist gives us, is that they should make them known to their children. So it wasn't just for that generation. It was for the generation to come. And then the generation after that. It was to be a perpetual thing that's passed down from one generation to the other, the Word of God. And now in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. You see, he's talking about the generation that is not yet present, but the one that is to come. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. You see how it keeps on going? I have this thing that I do with my kids sometimes. They don't necessarily like it, but I end up doing it at different times. I'll video them. And I'll video them and I'll ask them a question like, what would you tell your children when they look at this, when they watch this video 10, 15, 20 years from now, what would you want to say to them about your life right now? So I'm doing something that I don't think I ever did. I could barely see beyond my nose when I was a child. But when you think about being a child, it's hard to think about your kids and then their kids. But man, doesn't that broaden our perspective on things when we realize, hey, this isn't just about the here and now. It's not just about me. It's not even just about my family or my house, but it's about the houses that will come from this house. And the houses that just keep on growing, and how we want the Word of God not to end here, but for it to continue to be spread, for it to continue to be emphasized for our children's families and their children and their children and their children, from generation to generation to generation. Does that make sense? And to have that generational really perspective is what they have here. What the psalmist is presenting is good. Now, if you'll look at verse 8, it says, and may not be like their fathers. So probably going back to the rebellious generation that did not follow the Lord coming out of Egypt, even those in the wilderness. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now notice this, because we can learn from this, and children, you guys need to listen up and hear this, particularly right now. As your parents are teaching you the Bible, as they are instilling in you the truth of God's Word, as you hear that at church, you're responsible for what you do with it, all right? When you grow up, and as you are growing up, even now, you are responsible for what you do with the truth of God's Word. Because this generation, verse 8, that died off in the wilderness, if I'm correct in saying that's the ones he's referring to, they had the Word, but yet they didn't obey it. You see, you can have the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection from the dead. But if you don't obey that gospel, you're being disobedient to it, and it will do you no good for salvation. The gospel calls us to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're responsible for that. And notice what happens in verse 9 is he uses Ephraim as an example. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. When there was an opportunity for war and to fight, they turned back. Verse 10. They did not keep the covenant of God. So they did not keep the Word of God. Second part of verse 10. They refused to walk in His law. So their walk, their way of life did not align with the Word. Verse 11, and forgot His works. So they forgot what God had done, the works, and His wonders that He had shown them. And then the rest of this chapter really talks about the works and the wonders. So here's why it's necessary for parents to do this. Teach the love of the Lord, that they might love the Lord, but also to teach the next generation and that they would remember the Lord. The children need to be taught the Word of the Lord by faithful parents to love the Lord, to teach the next generation, and to remember the Lord. Y'all got that? Point number two. Children need training in the Lord from faithful parents. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and Colossians. We could spend all of our time in any of these passages, so we're going to have to move on. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll start at verse 1, even though I just have verse 4 listed there. And when I said that about the gospel earlier, that gospel call is for everyone to believe. Whether you're an adult now or whether you are a child, there is that call of the gospel for us to repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I simply ask you this morning, have you repented toward God? And do you have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you resting your hope of salvation in Jesus Christ and what He alone has done on the cross to redeem us from our sins? Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now notice, children. There were children in the church because Paul speaks specifically to them. Don't you know they would have perked up when they were reading this letter in the company of the church when it was received? And all of a sudden the children there in Ephesus hear Paul speaking to children, saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It doesn't say saved children obey your parents in the Lord, but it says children obey your parents in the Lord. All children in the church have the responsibility in the Lord to obey their parents. Do you hear me this morning, children? You have the responsibility in the Lord, before the Lord, to obey your parents. It is right, the Bible says. Verse 6, he continues speaking to them in this commandment that's taken from the Old Testament, from the Ten Commandments. He says, honor your father and mother. Now, why do that? You notice at the end of verse 2, which is the first commandment with promise. So this is a commandment that has a promise that's attached to it. And that's found in verse 3. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Children, as a rule of thumb, if you want a quality of life and if you want quantity of life, honor your father and your mother. If you want quality of life and if you desire quantity of life, honor your father and your mother. That doesn't mean that every child is going to live to be 100 years old. The Lord may have other things in store for certain individuals. But I will tell you this. Most of the time, children who do this, who honor their parents, who obey their parents, have a better life and they have a longer life than those who do not. So there's a promise there. And then in verse 4, we see that he speaks to the fathers. He says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So he puts the responsibility of this ultimately on the fathers. That doesn't discount the mothers. That doesn't say the mothers don't teach their children. You can go to the Psalms and see that the mother has a law that is to be put around the neck of the child. And that a foolish child can be a grief, not just to the father, but to the mother. There's so much in the Bible where we see mothers have an important part in the life of their children. But the responsibility comes back to the father. And he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Children don't have to be provoked to love, but they are provoked to wrath. Just like God is a God who is love. He doesn't have to be provoked to love, but He is provoked to wrath. And fathers can provoke their children to wrath. Paul warns against that. But he says to them, bring them up. So you notice this provoking is like a sudden thing that can happen. Provoke them to wrath, but they are to bring them up. It's gradual, little by little by little by little, day by day by day, year by year, from different stage of life to different stage of life, bring them up and do so not according to your curriculum, but according to the Lord's curriculum. It's in the training and admonition of the Lord. Who is the one who gives us as fathers the curriculum for raising our children? It is the Lord. And he uses two words here, training and admonition. Training is the idea of discipline along with instruction. Admonition is the idea of warning, of counseling and warning them as they grow. All right, now let's go over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. See a sister passage to this. Colossians 3. This is a little briefer, but we'll notice here in verse 20 and 21. Paul writes, he says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Do you kids hear that? Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is, what is it? Well-pleasing to the Lord. Do you want to please the Lord, kids? Obey your parents in all things. Verse 21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Let's go to our last point. Last point, if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews. Here's what I'd like to do, is I'd like to liken this parent-children-child relationship and see how it reminds all believers of our need to be trained by our Heavenly Father. Because it is a long, arduous task that parents have to raise their children. My dad always said when another one of our children were born, he'd say, "Well, that's a 20-year commitment." And it just so happens, Abigail's getting married and right after she turns 20. So that's worked out well. I don't anticipate that for all the kids. I know it doesn't end there. Hebrews 12. And I'm mainly going to read this, and I think that you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Have you found that? If you have, would you say amen? "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons." Now listen to this exhortation. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." That comes from Proverbs 3. Now, verse 7, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening," and that chastening means discipline, "but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers," that means all the children have become partakers, "then you are illegitimate and not sons." Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For indeed, for a few days, for they indeed, I'm sorry, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, that's God, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What we see in this, folks, is that God is in the business of training His children, just like a parent is supposed to train and even discipline their children as they bring them up. So the purpose of this is twofold in this passage. In verse 11, we saw that it would yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives as believers, as God actually disciplines us as His children. I used to tell my kids that, you know, that I've been disciplined by the Lord and that the Lord disciplines me. And it's like you could see them thinking, Daddy, how does the Lord do that to you? But, you know, it doesn't happen in a physical way, but it happens in other ways that the Lord disciplines us in our lives. And we see in verse 10 that God desires through this that we too would be partakers of His holiness. So, that's what I have for you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, I thank you, Father, for your word. God, I can confess, Lord, my need to hear your truth concerning parenting and be reminded, Lord, as well of how you are training us. Father, I pray, Lord, for all of our parents here, that from your word today, I do pray, God, that you'd use it to strengthen them and encourage them as they continue in this great responsibility of raising their children, bringing them up. Fathers particularly responsible for that in the homes. But Father, I pray also for the children here. I pray that the word that they have heard, not the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, God, that they would be able to have a special grace from you to heed this in their particular stage of life now as they subject themselves to their parents. And Father, again, for all of us, may we endure chastening as sons, knowing, Father, that you are doing this, that we might be partakers of your holiness, and that we might bear the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And Lord, I pray, if anyone is not a son of God through faith in Jesus, I pray, Lord, that today maybe they will see their need for Christ. I pray you would reveal it to them, that they may come to him in faith and repentance. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.